Everyone has a fave Wendy's Frosty flavor. And when you're choosing from chocolate or vanilla, it's not that hard. But now there's all new Frosty Swirls and Frosty Fusions. So try picking your fave from Oreo Brownie Fusion, Pop-Tarts Strawberry Fusion, Strawberry Swirl, Brownie Batter Swirl, Caramel Swirl, and Caramel Crunch Fusion. Not so easy now, huh? For a fresh way to Frosty, gotta be Wendy's. Open till midnight or later.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, hours may vary by location. Oreo is a trademark of Mondelez International Group. Pop-Tarts is a trademark of Kellogg North America Co. LLC, used with permission.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Inner Grove Podcast. My name is Carolina. I'm your host, and I hope you're having a beautiful day. On today's episode, we're going to be diving into the topic of self-trust, which is so important if you are trying to improve your confidence, if you're trying to learn how to make better decisions, and also just build up your resilience so that you can better navigate all the ups and downs that come with life. It's also a topic that's been popping up a lot in my Inner Grove coaching sessions with my one-on-one clients, so I thought it would be really cool to make an episode about this to dive deeper into 10 ways for you to strengthen your own self-trust and therefore experience inner growth and a stronger relationship with yourself. So with all of that said, let's dive into today's episode and let's get growing. To start us off, let's just kind of clarify what self-trust really is. Self-trust isn't about knowing all of the answers. It's also not about expecting that you're always going to be perfect and that you're always going to make the right decision. Instead, self-trust is about learning to believe in yourself and in your abilities and in developing this capacity of understanding that you can have your own back and that even if other people aren't there for you, you can be there for yourself and you can then go after your dreams or make difficult decisions because you know that you, again, are on your own team. And so at the end of the day, choosing self-trust is also about choosing to respect yourself and to be kind to yourself no matter what the outcome is. And it's important to remember that as we're diving into each of these tips, you don't have to do all of these things all at once in order to trust yourself. You can see this as baby steps that you can start taking little by little so that you can strengthen your relationship with yourself. So let's dive into the 10 biggest tips I have to help you develop self-trust. The first thing is learning to speak up for yourself. When you have self-trust, you are able to know that your thoughts, your feelings, your beliefs, all of those things have value and therefore they are worthy of being expressed. They are worthy of being verbalized and shared with other people. So this can look like asking for help when you need it or just simply expressing when something bothers you to someone else. This can definitely be uncomfortable at times, especially if you struggle with people-pleasing tendencies. But it's important to remember that, in a sense, letting go of people-pleasing tendencies also ties in with self-trust because it's about learning to put yourself first when necessary. And even if it makes someone else uncomfortable, you're going to ask for what you need, hopefully in a nice way. But this is a very important first stepping stone into learning to trust yourself. And also, as you start doing this, you will inherently improve your communication skills and just learn how to better advocate for yourself. Okay, number two is set and honor boundaries. A lot of the times, setting boundaries can feel intimidating to a lot of people because it seems like it might come across as a little bit aggressive, but that's not necessarily what setting boundaries is about. To me, setting a boundary is just about knowing what you're able to give in that moment and honoring that so that you're not stretching yourself thin and you're not saying yes to the things that you want to say no to or that you just simply don't have the bandwidth to give. I have personally struggled with this in the past where I'm a yes person. I love to say yes to things. I love to be helpful and I love to do things. I have a lot of energy to give, but what would end up happening would be that I would automatically say yes when anyone would ask me something, when I'd be invited to a plan. And then I would later on kind of regret saying yes to that thing because I didn't really give myself time to soak it in and check in with myself to see if that was something I actually was able to do. And so with time, something I have started to do that has been really helpful in this situation is when someone invites me to an event or asks for help of something or just reaches out with an opportunity or asks to hang out, I've been trying more and more to not answer right away. And this can be a little bit uncomfortable because we live in a world that has normalized immediacy. It's normalized immediate gratification and getting back to people right away because we're always on our phones or computers. But you don't have to do that. And in not doing that, you give yourself time to check in internally and see how you feel. So whenever you can, it's actually really helpful to say, hey, could I get back to you tomorrow? I just need to check my calendar and see if I'm able to come. Or, hey, can I get back to you in a couple hours? I just need to go over the things that are currently on my plate before I commit to this. And I have found more and more that when I started to set these boundaries, I actually got a pretty positive response from the people on the other side. People value honesty. People value authenticity. And I think it's way better to kindly say no to something than to say yes to something and then later on not be able to follow through on that commitment or on that plan or on that deliverable, because in that way, obviously, the other person might feel disappointed and let down, and you're also going to be getting in the way of your own self-trust because you're not going to be following up on your word. So that's kind of an underrated way of setting boundaries, is just honoring your bandwidth and honoring the things that you commit to. So just start checking in a little bit more so that you don't overcommit to things and therefore resent the situation in the future. Okay, tip number three is validate your feelings and your needs. And this goes hand in hand with point number one and point number two, because if you're not in tune with how you feel and with what you need, it's really hard to express yourself, to set boundaries, and to speak up for the things that are going on. And there are many tools that can help you learn to tune in with your feelings and your needs, like journaling, like talking to trusted friends and family, like venting out on your notebook everything that's going on in your brain, or sitting in silence, or going on a nature walk. All of these things can bring clarity into how you're feeling. Even taking like a really hot shower and playing some nice music, that might help you slow down enough to hear yourself. Feelings were made to be felt, and it's okay to feel uncomfortable emotions. It's okay to not be okay. It's okay to be you, and you don't have to always be perfect and always be thriving. It's okay to have moments when you feel these uncomfortable feelings. And by taking time to honor that, you are also showing yourself that you can rely on yourself, that you can be your own parent, that you can be someone you can lean on, which is really powerful and beautiful. Number four is keep the promises that you make to yourself. I think this is probably the most powerful point out of all of the ones that I'm gonna dive into, or at least one of the most powerful. And it's basically to follow through on your word with the things that you say you're gonna do, which in one way requires that you be realistic with the expectations you're setting for the day, things that you're putting on your to-do list, the things you say to yourself that you have to do, right? You have to be realistic with that in order to then be able to keep the promises you're making to yourself. But this can be just a daily simple promise. Maybe your daily promise is that you're going to drink a liter of water. And every single day that you go and you drink a liter of water, you are keeping a promise to yourself. Maybe the promise to yourself is that you're going to work out 5 times a week. Every week that goes by that you've worked out 5 times in that week, you are building your ability to trust yourself, to know, I believe in myself. I know that I have my own back. That builds confidence. And over time, you know, as you start to keep these promises, this ties in with bigger goals that you might have, whether they're career goals or relationship goals or personal goals. When you have the ability to trust yourself, you will feel way more confident that you're going to be able to achieve these bigger goals too. Okay, number five is listening to your body. That means if you're tired, actually rest. If you're extremely overstretched and exhausted and burnt out, that is your body signaling to you that it needs more rest, that it needs more sleep, that you need to take maybe a rest day or two from the gym, that maybe you need to go and stretch your body out. And when you honor those things, you strengthen your relationship with yourself. But if instead you ignore your body's cues and you go and you push through and you overexercise and you don't go to bed early enough, you're going to progressively feel worse. You're not going to be able to then trust yourself that you can take care of yourself properly. So it's just about learning to listen. And same thing applies with eating when you're hungry, paying attention to when you're thirsty and going and grabbing a glass of water. It's in these little things. And the more that you do it, the more you're going to be able to feel confident in yourself. All right, tip number six is let go of what no longer serves you. As you evolve, as you grow, as you get older, there are going to be things that used to resonate with a version of you in the past, and it might not resonate with the version of you that you are now, or it might not resonate with the version of you that you are looking to become. And it's really important to get really real with yourself about these things and to proactively be in this surrendered state whenever you need to be in that state. So this means letting go sometimes of toxic relationships or toxic friendships that don't help you feel good, that don't lift you up. That's not easy. This is probably one of the hardest ones of these 10 tips, but it's extremely important as well. And this can also apply to habits that no longer serve you. Maybe, you know, you're constantly burnt out because you're only getting 5 hours of sleep every single night. That's something that you might have to let go of in order to change and to become a better version of you that takes better care of your body. So it's about getting really real with yourself about what does not serve you. And maybe you can make a list of energy givers and energy drainers, and then take a look at your energy drainers list and see what does not resonate anymore, what's not helping you move forward, and then start to proactively let go of those things. Number seven, this is also one of my favorites. Start engaging in proactive, positive self-talk. The truth is, we don't have control over everything. We can't control exactly how people perceive us, if or how people judge us, the weather. There are so many things that don't fall within our control, but one of the most important things that does and that has such an impactful effect on your life is how you choose to talk to yourself. You can either let yourself stay in a loop of negative self-talk where you're constantly body shaming or judging what you see in the mirror or saying, oh, you're so stupid, everyone's judging you, who do you think you are, look at that mistake that you made, you're failing, everyone else is ahead of you, etc., etc., etc. Or you can decide to live your life differently. And this is one of the most powerful decisions that you can possibly make that's going to create so much growth for you. And I would recommend doing this in two main ways. The first is paying close attention to the negative thoughts that creep up. And whenever a judgmental thought comes up, whenever your inner critic gets really loud, catch yourself. Stop the thought. And in that moment, say, no, this is not how we're talking to ourselves anymore. This is not how I'm choosing to live my life. And then in the moment, replace that thought with a more positive one. Say something nice to yourself. You can say it in your head. You can say it out loud. It doesn't matter, but choose a positive thought. And these positive thoughts over time will start to outweigh the negative ones, but it takes practice and it takes consistency with stopping the negative ones. And then something else that you can also do that's a little bit more proactive instead of reactive is to do an affirmation journaling practice. I've talked about this many times in the past, but this is such a simple journaling prompt that I have been recently loving, and I've been doing it consistently for a few months now. And all that I do is that while I have my breakfast in the morning, I just write a list of affirmations and then I write a list of gratitudes. And I usually try to fill up a whole page with this list, and I'll write as much as I can. And you can make these affirmations as intricate, as interesting as you want them to be. For example, you don't have to write, I am beautiful, I am loved, I am smart. No, you can write really powerful, positive sentences like, money always flows my way. I love money and money loves me. I am abundant in nature. I glow from the inside out. I am always attracting aligned relationships and opportunities. The list goes on. And the more that you stay consistent with writing things out like this, the more they come into your life. The more they become a natural part of your self-talk. And the more, again, they crowd out that negative self-talk that you might struggle with. Okay, number eight is take stock of your past achievements. Especially if you are a healing, recovering perfectionist, it can be really easy to hyper-focus on what's going wrong or on what has not happened yet, and to basically forget everything that you're doing well or that has gone well already in your life. So having this list of achievements, whether it's a physical list, whether it's a folder on your photos app where you put photos of these achievements, whether you write them out, whether you remind yourself of them every single week. It doesn't matter exactly how you do it, but what matters is that you do acknowledge what you have achieved. And something that I have recently taught some of my one-on-one coaching clients that is such an underrated but really, really powerful shift is for a lot of people when they're making to-do lists, especially if it's a digital to-do list on your notes app or on a Notion document or something, it can be really common to just delete the things that you have done from the list. But if you're you're always deleting the things that you have done, you're always going to be looking at a to-do list that has more and more things to be done, that has all the things you have not accomplished. So instead, what I like to do is I do a weekly to-do list, or as I call it, to manifest list. And as I move through each thing, I just cross it off or check off the bullet on my notes app. And that way, by the end of the week, I can look through this list and see everything that I did do. And most weeks, there are things that I didn't do. There are things that are going from one week's list to the next week's list. But there's still, oh, this other stuff that I accomplished. And being able to visually see that progress, visually see the things you did, is really satisfying for your brain. It gives you those happy chemicals. It gives you dopamine. So I highly encourage trying this out. Number 9 is forgive yourself. You were not put on this earth to be perfect. And just like every single other human being on this planet, you have made mistakes. And that's okay. You might have failed. You might have done something in a way that you're not proud of. You might have said something in a way that you didn't love. But it's okay because it taught you something. So choose to let yourself free, to forgive yourself, and to choose to love yourself even if you've made those mistakes. Accept that everyone makes mistakes and forgive yourself, that you can move forward without a constant battle of remembering those quote-unquote failures or quote-unquote mistakes. Just choose to let yourself free. Give yourself compassion. A lot of the times it's easier for humans to forgive other people than themselves. But if you don't forgive yourself, you're always carrying this burden of self-judgment and regret and negative energy around with you. So stop resenting yourself and start forgiving yourself and just focus on the lessons. See the past as a teacher and focus on the lessons it taught you as you move forward. All right, and my last tip for today is to visualize your success, to visualize your future and have a vision. Because when you get really clear on your goals and on the version of you that you want to become and on the things that you want to do and achieve, it's much easier for you to create an action plan and to take steps towards those things. And therefore, right, have your own back and build your self-trust and build your confidence. And different ways you can do that is through vision boards or really mapping out your goals for the year or the month. You can do visualization meditations. All of those tools are available to you. But the more that you know where you want to get to and that stays super solid in your head, in your brain, the easier it will be for you to get to that version of you. Okay, so those are my top 10 tips on building self-trust. As I mentioned in the beginning, you don't have to do all of these things all at once in order to learn to trust yourself. You can just pick one or three of them and start with that. And if I was you, I would start focusing on keeping the promises you make to yourself, really working on strengthening your self-talk and speaking to yourself more kindly, and also learning to listen to your body. Those, I think, are three extremely powerful tips from today's conversation that you can move forward with that are a bit more tangible in terms of how to implement them. But as a whole, all of these tips are important, and I'm curious to hear which ones of them resonated the most with you or which one you're taking with you moving forward so that you can connect more deeply with yourself, experience inner growth, and also learn to trust yourself in the process. So definitely let me know in the comments of the YouTube video. And if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, don't forget to head over to YouTube and hit subscribe and watch the episodes on video. So yes, thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you have an amazing rest of your day. Don't forget to water yourself, take care of yourself, and I'll see you very soon with a new episode. Bye.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.